I'm sorry? Sure. Please stand.
Save you, Lord of the name. Good morning.
Good morning.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
God. Jesus said the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And now let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Thank you, Jesus. Have mercy on us, Lord.
Let's pray together.
Most merciful God, I confess that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what I have done and by what I have left undone, I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I am truly sorry, and I humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me and forgive me, that I may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Something the Lord's been saying to me over and over the past, well, during the quarantine time, is to know who he is and who we are in him. Don't forget that.
Amen.
So let's spend some time remembering who he is and who he is to us and who we are to him.
Formed my heart.
You sing over me, you dance over me, you cover me with grace, your mercy so free keeps giving to me. Oh, how I love this place, and you quiet me with your love, you quiet me with your love. You are healing, you are healing.
Does anybody feel that they have a word? You think the Lord's saying? When we were worshiping, I had this sense of things being very open, and what I was drawn to was this wonderful passage in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Lord, thank you that you desire to continue to show us what it is that's going on in heaven that's being manifested in earth. And you are for us and have never, ever been against us. Thank you, Jesus.
Us to be sure that we believe and we know that he bends his ear to hear us when we call to him.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. Amen. Let us now give our attention to the reading of God's holy word.
Our first reading this morning is Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, and seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanite, of the Hittite, and the Amorite, of the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite, to give it to his descendants. And you have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. Then you performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants and all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted arrogantly toward them and made a name for yourself as it is this day. You divided the sea before them, so they passed through the midst of the sea on dry ground, and their pursuers you hurled into the depths like a stone into raging waters. And with a pillar of cloud, you led them by day, and with a pillar of fire by night, to light for them the way in which they were to go. Then you came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. You gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. So you made known to them your holy Sabbath and laid down for them commandments, statutes, and law through your servant Moses. You provided bread from heaven for them for their hunger. You brought forth water from a rock for them for their thirst. And you told them to enter in order to possess the land which you swore to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
praise the Lord. The reading is the 23rd chapter of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Glory to this is the evening of the word. Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
Our New Testament reading today is taken from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right, and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and
and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What I wanted to talk a little bit about this morning was John 10 and the Good Shepherd. But I wanted to do a couple of things before that. I wanted to reference a couple of other readings before I say anything about John 10. And the first one is from Matthew 9, 36 to 38. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into his harvest. I am so grateful that that prayer has been answered and continues to be answered, because I think of those who have labored in my own life, bringing the Lord's compassion. I am so grateful to the church that he has established, that we are to enter in union with him and how he shepherds his people. The next one is Matthew 18, 12 to 14. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he receives more. He rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. For the Lord desires that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, because God has so loved this world. And the last one, Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. For the Lord continues to have us go in and out and find pasture. He makes us lie down in green pastures, and leads us beside the still waters. The Good Shepherd is all about his compassion, and I am so grateful for his compassion. I am so grateful for the compassion that he has shown me throughout my life. I am so grateful that I have testimonies of his compassion, and testimonies of his compassion in other people's lives, and hearing narratives and stories of other people talking about the Lord's kindness and his compassion. So when I look at John 10 with you for a moment, this chapter on the Good Shepherd, and it engenders such warm, hopefully, memories as we consider the Lord being the Good Shepherd of our souls. But what I wanted to do was take a few moments and put this in context. And hopefully this will allow us to appreciate it maybe even a little bit more. And I realize that maybe some of what I have to say initially, it might take a moment to connect the dots. And some of what I have to say might even be a little difficult to hear. But I want to say something real briefly about, again, the Gospel of John. Remember that it's broken up into two books, Book of Signs, Book of Glory. Book of Signs is the first 12 chapters. There are seven signs. Now, each of those signs, there is a discourse, either before it or after it, to help describe and explain what the sign is, what just happened. And they're all connected. They don't stand on their own. And then, of course, the Book of Glory. It's where we celebrate the Easter Triduum, the Paschal Mystery. But in those two books, the Book of Signs and the Book of Glory, there are seven of those ego and me statements, seven plus one, those I am statements. And so in John 10, what we have are two of those I am statements. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. But this is a discourse that follows a sign. So what we have to do is to go back to the sixth sign so as to put the good shepherd discourse into context to understand maybe more fully what it was that was going on. And indeed, we need to be able to collapse the distance, but there's also a value of seeing it in its context. So when we go back to that sixth sign, remember that was the man who was born blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, and this is John chapter 9, so who sinned? Was it his sin or his parents' sin that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither. And then Jesus spits into some dirt, and he makes a paste, and he rubs it on this guy's eyes. And he says, now I want you to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. What might sound like a digression for a moment, I just want you to be aware of something in regards to that whole action that just took place. Mark will mention a couple of these scenes too about Jesus spitting. Remember, it was perceived by the disciples that the reason this guy was blind was either because of his sin or his parents' sin. And see, it was not uncommon at all for seeing someone who might have a particular malady going on in their life to look at that as being sin in their own life or their parents' life. It was not uncommon at all to be spat upon. You would be spit in your face. People would spit in your food. They would spit on your clothing. It was not uncommon at all for that to happen. And isn't it uncanny that Jesus takes and spits into dirt and he makes it a paste? And he rubs it on his eyes. And he tells him to make his way to the pool of Siloam and wash. And what happens when he washes? His blindness is washed away. But think of what else is washed away. And I'm not making this allegorical. All the shame, the accusation, the condemnation, the mocking is all washed away as he washes all of that saliva, mud mix, he washes it all off, and the guy can see. And when you think about the cross, and even what led up to the cross, and even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, how much he was spat upon. And he takes all of that. He takes all of that mocking, accusation, condemnation, guilt, shame, all of that. That even tries to settle on our life. And what does he do? He washes it off in his blood. He washes it off of us and he removes the blindness. And so just to be aware of this sign that's going on, that there are some things that sometimes we can miss. And so just to be conscious of what it is that's happening. And so as this continues to unfold, a few people look at this guy and say, aren't you the beggar that used to sit? And he said, yeah. And he said, that you can see. How do you see? And he said, well, the man called Jesus made a paste of spittle and put it on my eyes, told me to go and wash, and I washed, and now I can see. And so they take this guy to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees ask him, so what happened? And he retells the story. Well, they don't believe him, and so they call on the parents. And so they ask the parents, is this your son? They say, yes. Was he born blind? They say, yes. Well, then how do you account that he can see? They say, we don't know. He's of age. Ask him. Remember this? And remember that the parents may already perceive themselves as, they may be perceived as being part of the problem as to why their son is blind in the first place. So they're already probably feeling a little bit marginalized. And so the Pharisees, pushed by the parents or pushed back the parents, and they say, well, what do you have to say about this man that healed you? And he says, well, he must be a prophet, because it's never been heard that anyone could heal someone who has been blind from birth. And they get very irritated at him. And so irritated at him that they look at him and say, you who are steeped in sin would teach us? So what do? They throw him out of the synagogue. And Jesus finds him later in the temple, and he asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus introduces himself to him and says, it's me. And the man says, I believe. And he worships him. So when we go to verses 39 to 41, the last three verses of John chapter 9, this is how it reads. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him, and I want you to hear that. Then some of the Pharisees that were with him. You need to understand that in Jesus' public ministry, he had Pharisees going with him wherever he went. They followed him wherever he went. And in the process of following him, they're looking for anything that he will do or anything that he will say to hold it against him. When I think of this, what I think of is like a press corps, a paparazzi, journalists who follow somebody around looking for anything that they might say or anything they might do to be able to take them down. I don't know how much has changed. So then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. The next verse is John chapter 10, verse 1, that starts the discourse of the Good Shepherd. To understand that context. And so these next five verses in John 10, Jesus will say, I am the Good Shepherd, I am the door. And anyone who's tried to come through in any other way is a thief, is a robber. I know my sheep and I lead them out, and they hear my voice and they follow me. And it says in verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Who didn't understand? What's the commentary referring to? The man who was born blind that just got his sight back? The disciples? It's the Pharisees. It's the Pharisees that are with Jesus, because remember, that's who he's just been dialoguing with. They did not understand this illustration, so Jesus, he expounds on it for the next four verses, but we just have the first 10. We don't have the whole of John 10. So, the other thing that I want you to be aware of in this discourse that Jesus gives, what he's going to do is he's going to mention five antagonists. It's going to be thieves and robbers and strangers and hirelings and wolves. And this can be the part that can be kind of hard to hear, and so please just bear with me for a moment. Remember, he's not talking about those who are outside. He's talking about the church. He is saying that there are thieves and robbers and strangers and hirelings and wolves in the church. But he's the good shepherd, and he knows how to shepherd his sheep. And he knows who are his. And he knows those who recognize his voice. And he knows when he goes out and leads them that they follow. And so needless to say, this can be a little disconcerting when we figure that there's something going on in the midst of Jesus talking to the Pharisees, but the disciples and the other are hearing, and they're looking at the context, not out there in the world, but they're looking amongst themselves and saying, oh my Lord. Jesus knows how to shepherd his people. And remember those first three passages that I read to you from Matthew. Jesus sends out laborers into his harvest, carrying the Father's heart, being transformed on the inside to manifest his presence on the outside. Jesus knows how to be compassionate for someone who has wandered off. Let's say wandered off, maybe not physically, but wandered off maybe emotionally, or psychologically, or spiritually, or relationally. And I don't know if you know what happens when a sheep wanders off and ends up being marginalized from the community or marginalized from the flock. When they feel lost, what they will do is try to find a rock or a bush to hide by. And then they begin to shiver, and it's not because they're cold. They begin to shiver, and then they begin to bleat. Predators hear that, and they're drawn to that sound. They start stalking because of that sound. But Jesus knows that, and Jesus comes to find the one who is shivering and afraid, and he takes them and puts them over his shoulder, and he brings them back. Because he's not a thief, he's not a robber, he's not a stranger, he's not a hireling, and he's not a wolf. He's the good shepherd. And he knows how to shepherd his people. He knows how to shepherd each of us inside and out. He also knows how to shepherd his church. But he also recognizes how he wants to shepherd his church. It's been said, there's been several words out there about there is a shaking going on. There's the world is being shaken. And even if you haven't heard any of that prophetically, it's happening. There's a shaking going on. It's affecting, I mean, when we look at this COVID-19 and all that's going on with the tragedy of people dying, and at the same time, those who are so directly affected because of losing a loved one, or because persons who could be afraid that they might come down with this. And so there's a shaking going on with that. There's a shaking economically that's happening to do with businesses and employers and employees. There's a shaking going on politically. An absolute shaking that's going on politically. But it's important that we hear there is a shaking going on in the church. There is a shaking going on in the church. And to a lesser or greater degree, there's a shaking going on in every one of our lives. And sometimes with that shaking, there is stuff that gets stirred up. Stuff that kind of starts coming to the surface because of the shaking. And the Lord knows how to take care of that. He knows how to minister in the midst of that. He knows how to take care of that, and he knows how to bring that compassion and that love and that mercy to us. And I know that I don't have time to go into each one of those antagonists. And I don't want you spending any time thinking about the antagonists. The Lord knows that they're there, and the Lord knows how to protect us. And the Lord even knows when sometimes that stuff surfaces up, starts to stir up, instead of getting panicked by it, to say, Lord, I kind of feel like one of those sheep right now that's over by this rock or this bush, and I'm kind of shaking. And he comes and says, I'm right here. And I know how to bring comfort and compassion to that. So these would be the last two things that I would say. And I wished I'd had time to say more. Is it's so important that how I hear this is not misheard, or how you hear this is not misheard. It's important that the church understand right now she is not called to hide. She is not called to hide. That's not her role. It's not about hiding. It's about recognizing that the Lord prayed, Father, send laborers out into your vineyard, out into the pastures, because the harvest is ripe, because there's a shaking going on. And there's persons who need to hear about the Good Shepherd. So how do we navigate through that, where we have to be so careful and conscious of the directives that we're given as how to manage that space and that time with people? But that means that when we're sent out, what are we looking for? We're looking in his heart, because apparently our blindness has been removed. And to be able to see his sheep, that he's called us to partner and labor with him to bring back, or to heal every sickness or disease, or to show his compassion. The church must not hide. It's not called to hide. And how it is that the Lord directs us to recognize how that is, to navigate through all of this, it's being bold. It's being fearless. It's not being disrespectful or disobedient. But it is being forthright. And the second thing that I would say is, when Jesus looks at his church and he says, I've taught them many things, and they're very tired and they're very weary, but they need to eat. They need to eat. They need to eat. His people need to eat. And what is it that we need to eat? Did you know that there was not one father or doctor of the church, not one, who did not attest that when we pray that prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Every single one of them said that was the Eucharist. Did you know that? Every single one of them attested to the fact that's what he was pointing to. Now, does that mean that other forms of daily bread do not have tremendous value? Absolutely they do. But we need to eat. So, one other thing, just as an addendum that I would say to you, when we go to John chapter 10, verse 10, and Jesus says he's come to bring life and life in abundance, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, my guess is that probably every one of us would say, well, the thief there is the devil. But you know, he's not mentioned once in John 10. He's not mentioned once. And see, we immediately equate that thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy with the devil. But he's not even mentioned. Now, does that mean that the devil could be behind inspiring thieves and robbers and strangers and hirelings and wolves? You could probably make that argument. But it's also being aware the Lord wants his bride to be pure. And sometimes the Lord can allow stuff to begin to surface in our life and say, oh my God, I have to let go of that. I may have listened to a stranger and didn't even realize it. I've allowed a thief to get into my life and steal. I've allowed a robber to intimidate me. And I've put my faith in the one who was a hireling, and when I really needed them, they weren't there. And it seems like sometimes I feel like I am the target of being devoured. But you have said you will never abandon, because you bring life and life in abundance. You are the good shepherd and you are faithful. You show compassion. You send out laborers. You heal every sickness or disease. You come and get us when we're lost, and you feed us. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I lead them in and out to find pasture. They recognize my voice and they follow me. Any shaking that's going on right now in your life or anybody else's life that causes you to wonder or to doubt or to consider other things, ask yourself this: who's talking? Who's talking? Because the Lord desires to bring life and life in abundance at every single moment and juncture in our life. He does not create fear or panic or lostness. He does the exact opposite. Abundant life. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you. So, when we do communion this morning, we will be doing it on this again. So what I'll need to do is come around and squirt each of your hands. But these are a little bigger. And the reason they're a little bigger is because we ran out of the little guys. Okay? So now we went from small to double extra large. Okay? Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. Become for us the body of Christ. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become for us the blood of Christ. Lord God, we ask that you be pleased with the sacrifice we offer you with humble and contrite hearts. And Lord, wash away our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Hallelujah.
Father, it is our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, Father, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name, as together we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father, you are holy indeed, the fountain of all holiness. Let your Holy Spirit come upon these gifts to make them holy, so that they may become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was given up to death, a death he freely accepted, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you, and for the whole world, for the forgiveness of sins, for the healing of fallen and broken humanity. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. And let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In memory of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Father, this life-giving bread, this saving cup. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. May all of us who share in the body and blood of Jesus be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit. Father, remember your church throughout the world. Make us grow in love together with our patriarch, our bishop, and all the clergy. Remember those for whom we now pray. And Lord, for all of these prayers that we have been lifting up to you all week, even those prayers that we've lifted up to you already this day, those who have asked for our prayers, those whom we have promised to pray for, even those we are praying for that they do not know we are praying for them, Lord. And we thank you that in accordance to your word, you are able to save us to the uttermost. And amongst everything else that you do, you also live to make intercession for us. So we place all of these needs for our world, for our nation, for those who would be most vulnerable. We lift all these up to you, Lord, and place that upon this altar, in this cup, and on this paten. And we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. And Lord, we place our lives there as well. And we thank you that you continue to shepherd all the intercessions that we lift to you, including the intercessions on behalf of ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your bride, the church. May she continue to arise to live out the fullness of the gospel. Father, draw our hearts to remember the poor and broken. As we receive the body and blood of Jesus, may we be transformed to become the body of Christ to the world. Have mercy on us all, O Lord, for you have made us worthy to share eternal life with all the saints. May we praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us your. And may this mingling of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bring eternal life to us who receive it. Behold God's love for you. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, we praise you that in these holy gifts there is healing for body, soul, and spirit. Though I am not worthy to receive you, only say the word, and I shall be healed. So what I will be doing is distributing the body of Christ. And DJ will fill these up and set them right here on that kneeler. And I'll come around outside of the Easter candle and distribute the body of Christ. And then you can make your way there, receive, and then put it in that bowl there. Okay. The body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body Christ.
Amen.
Body Christ. Body Christ. Body Christ. Body Christ. Body Christ. Body Christ. I'm gonna give you three of these. Body of Christ. I'm gonna give you two of these. Body of Christ. Kohashiki Valiana Kopana Nikichi Valiana. Kohosha Valia Kitiliana. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cup of salvation. Thank you. You know, when Jesus gets near to finishing this discourse on the Good Shepherd, during his discourse, the people try to grab him to take him away, and he escapes their grasp, but then they pick up a bunch of stones to throw at him to try to kill him while he gives his discourse on the Good Shepherd. But listen what he said at the end. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Amen. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And I leave with you this image. If you think about parents who would have a hold of a child one would have a hold of one hand and one would have a hold of the other. And the child will be walking in between them. And what the Lord is saying is, I will never let go of your hand. And the Father is saying, I will never let go of your hand. You are mine. Amen?
Amen.
Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Thanks for making it out here. So for those of you who chose to come this morning, is 8 o'clock all right? Okay. The nice thing is that gives me a little time getting stuff set up. So thanks for coming.
Was it
8 o'clock? Was it 8? Yeah. We sent the thing out. We're going to try to do it at 8. The first one from 8 to 9:30, and then, or from 8, so that gives me some time. And then, because what's been happening is the next one's at